Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We welcome you here today. Welcome our phone church, our live stream, and pray that God will just continue to bless. Hallelujah. Psalms 39. Have you ever had somebody say to you, what are you waiting for? Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray your blessing upon it this day. We ask, Lord God, that you would touch, Lord, everyone that is here, Lord, the ones that are listening, Lord God, that you would touch them, help them. We give you the glory, Lord God. We thank you that everything that you do, Lord, is for our best. And Lord God, you have it all planned out, and we praise you for that. Lord, we don't want to get ahead of you. We don't want to get behind you. But Lord, we know that you have great things in store. We give you the praise and give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember one year that, I don't know if it was a birthday or Christmas, but our son was opening up a package. And I remember I was, you know, when they had those big old movie cameras, you know, you put them on your, you got muscles in the right hand, and that's about it. But I remember he's opening up this gift. And I remember I thought, I'm going to run out of film here. And I remember I said to him, hurry up, Neil, hurry up. Undelay. You know, it's like, what are you waiting for? Here we are. 2022. The pulpit commentary tells us this. And now, under these circumstances, human life being what it is, and all men nothing but vanity, what is my hope? What is my hope? What is my expectation? And what am I waiting for? Here, this was a cry, as it would seem, of utter despair. But when the night is darkest, let me tell you, day dawns. Sweet is it that our hope should rest in him, who is never shaken, hallelujah. Our rest is in the God who never shaken, should abide in him who never changes, and should bind us to him who can hold us fast to himself, who alone is the full contentment of the souls. We welcome Savannah and Lexi home from college. Bless you guys. In these next moments, I want us to consider something. But I want us to consider our soul. And ask yourself this, can I afford to wait any longer before I make a decision for Jesus Christ? Some have already made that decision. The old hymn years ago means so much more to us. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven, an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and I settled long ago. Long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. We know the reality of that there, him. Now, the question that must be answered is this. Do you have a legitimate reason for further postponing this decision? And how about this question? How much time do you need in order to make up your mind that heaven is better than hell and righteousness is better than evil? There are many who haven't reached that decision at all. I've got relatives, you probably do too, that have never made that decision. We're not talking here to people who deliberately want to be bad. Not at all. Or who want to do evil. For the number of years that I have proclaimed the name of Christ to be the salvation of my soul, and the one who takes away my sin, I've yet to meet someone who wants to spend eternity in darkness. People don't single out to be lost. They don't. They don't wake up some morning and say, I think today I'm going to be lost. They don't choose that. Number one, neglecting our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, but they do simply go on neglecting so great a salvation. You know what neglect means? Neglecting is to disregard. To just disregard it. Forget it. Overlook it. Do people want a favorable day? You ever think of that? Do they want a favorable day on which to make their decision so they might remember it? Do they want a national holiday? July 4th, 19 something something. Oh, no, wait a minute. We're in the 2000s. That's right. I made a decision to live for Christ. Gave my heart to Him. Maybe an anniversary date. Maybe they're waiting for the climate to just be right for their soul. Maybe they're waiting for the choir to sing just the right song. Or the preacher to preach on a certain verse. Maybe that's what they're waiting for. Or maybe they're waiting for the preacher to use, oh, well, I want them to use the King James Version. Or the NIV, or the Amplified. Or whatever. Church, if there is anything that ought to arouse our excitement and enthusiasm, it's the question of eternity. And the possibility that you may start on that trip at any moment, right now even. There is no better time than the present to start on the trip. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Some have thought about it for some time, and now is the time to act. With all reverence, with all respect, and I say it without fear of contradiction, God Himself can't help a person to be good until that person decides and takes action on their decision. Wow. If God could conveniently or because of a person's preference make somebody or anybody good, He would do that. Because He wishes for people to be good. My mom did too. And if the devil could conveniently make somebody or anybody bad, we would all be bad. Because he wants us to be bad. So if you want to be bad, the devil is going to help you. He has no problem with that. And if you want to be good, the Lord will help you. Think about it. No father can make a lawyer out of his son until that son decides, I want to be a lawyer. The father may lay aside a sum of money for the son's education. He may help make a choice of what university or college or wherever that he would be attending. He may do all the preliminary work for him. But that does not make the boy a lawyer. It doesn't. And neither can God make a Christian out of anybody until they decide to go God's way. Are you with me? What would they be waiting for? What would they be waiting for? Do they think that by waiting, they will receive more favorable terms? Do they think it will be easier to be a Christian next year? I think I'm going to wait next year. Do they think it'll be easier than it is to be a Christian this year? Let me tell you something, church. It's not getting any easier. Because Satan is keeping his thumb. Yes, we know, we understand that there are things you must give up, withdraw or retreat from, leave behind, release in order to have peace with God. All because, when you think about it, all because you are a new creation in Christ. And the scripture says old things pass away. Old. That's number two. Number two, all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know what that means? That means saved by the blood. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. What we were before salvation, behold, all things are become new. The old is no longer. Why isn't it no longer? Because it's not usable anymore. The old is not usable anymore. We can't use it anymore. There are terms. But let me tell you something, church. What you give up is unimportant in comparison with what you're going to receive. Hallelujah. Church, I am glad the Lord's terms are what they are. Suppose the Lord said to you, it's an illustration. Suppose the Lord said to you, you needn't quit your line. Don't worry anything about that. Just come right in. Let me tell you what will happen. You would lie once too many times and you'll land in prison. Suppose the Lord said to you, come right in. Come on right in here. You don't need to quit your hating and backbiting. I'll tell you what will happen. One of these days, somebody would be standing trial for your life charged with murder. That's what would happen. I'm glad, church, I'm glad that God won't take a person into the kingdom until that person surrenders everything that could disgrace them here and then destroy them in eternity. I wouldn't want God's salvation to be given on any other terms. Not at all. God isn't going to change those terms. It will never happen. It's by the blood of Christ. So that people can go and do all the unrighteousness they please. You know, I think to myself, you know, somebody might say, oh, pastor, you just don't understand. It's not all the time. It's just once in a while. If a person is waiting for more favorable terms, they are going to be waiting in vain. And they are waiting without success. They are waiting without results. And it comes to number three. Following Christ. The Bible says this, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Church, those are the terms. Those are the terms. You ever buy insurance and go someplace and buy a new vehicle or buy a vehicle or something? And these are the terms you have to follow. Well, these are the terms as far as salvation goes. Someone might say, I can find a membership on better and easier terms than that. I don't doubt that one bit. And I would say this, but there's a heap of difference between membership and Bible and salvation. As one man said this, he said, I want to be as loyal to my church as angels are to God, but I want to be loyal to my Bible first of all. Hallelujah. Church, there's no side door to heaven. You understand? It's the pearly gates. Entrance. There's no side door. You can't go around the side to get into heaven. There's only one way in for us. And that is Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the life, and the way. Some people may say this, I'll tell you what I am waiting for. Now hold on. This is what I'm waiting for. Some people might think this. I'm waiting for the church to get right. Some have said, I'm just as good as anyone inside the church. They don't know what they're saying. They have picked the wrong person to use as a measuring stick. They have passed over God's saints. And they have passed over some of God's finest in the kingdom of God. They have went the way of the best hypocrites that they could find. That's not the measuring stick. And then they would say, I'm just as good as they are. This is what you need to do. Go look you up a genuine, sincere, honest, true, bona fide person. Then measure yourself. I think I'm going to measure myself by the Apostle Paul. Wow. As one man said this, he said this, you'll look like a fox terrier lying by an elephant. You see, I'm not apologizing for the church. Not here to apologize for the church. Yes, there are some who need help. We always have diamonds in the rough and God's still working on me, right? There are those who would say, I'm going to accept Christ when I get a certain feeling. Let me just feel. That's exactly like the man with an axe in his hand. You know, I just get that right feeling. I'm going to wait for that right feeling. And he was asked, this man was asked, when are you going to start chopping? When are you going to start using that axe? And he responded and said, I'm waiting till I begin to sweat. I'm waiting till I begin to sweat. Now let me ask you a question. Which comes first, the chopping or the sweating? The fact remains, church, that many people want to feel saved before they ever get saved. They want to feel it before they ever get saved. They may say this, if I didn't have the right feeling, I'd be a hypocrite. Let me ask you a question. Do you always feel like going to work in the morning? some of you don't know what to say. Your head's going up and backward and everything else. Let me ask you another question. Were you a hypocrite at the workplace all day? Even though you might not felt like going to work? No. How about it, ladies? Have you always felt like washing and ironing and doing your housework? Well, that was affirmative. Does that make you a hypocrite because you don't? Why don't we use as much sense in religious matters? Let me ask you a question, or let me tell you this. Lots of time our children don't feel like going to bed at night, but we send them to bed anyway, right? Does that make you a hypocrite? No. I had that feeling when I was going to school. Well, it's a good thing we didn't have virtual learning back then. I think if we would have, I think my mom and dad would have said, "You're going anyway." Number four, knowing right from wrong. This is what the Bible says in James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth, it doesn't say this at all. It doesn't say that him that feeleth. It says him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. To him it is sin. You also have people who say, "I don't think that I'm fit to be a Christian. I want to do all right, but I'm not good enough." Well, you're a candidate like that. The best answer is found in the Bible, and this is what the Bible says. Jesus said that he came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Matthew 9:13, Paul says this, "It is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." Wow. Someone might say, "I wouldn't want to start unless I could go all the way." Let me put it this way. You'll never go all the way unless you get to start. Church, what we need is enough to start with. If God gave to us all at once all the power he will furnish to carry us through, our body could not contain it, not at all. We couldn't hold it. And church, I say this, trust him. Trust him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. That's the scripture of 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God will do exactly what he has said he will do if we will only believe him. And Jesus will be as faithful towards you tomorrow as he has been towards you today. All you need is, right now, is enough power to start. Wow. Look at our text again in Psalm 39:7. "What wait I for? My hope is in God." 1,000 excuses cry out in our minds. Not now, wait, not now. But your conscience and your soul say something else. Your hope is in God. Thank God. It is not in stocks. It's not in bonds. It's not in real estate. It's not in government. And you can go on and on. Thank God. Suppose your hope was in your earthly father. But he's not hope or around anymore. He's not here anymore. Can they speak from the grave for us? No. Or maybe a mother who's not here anymore. Can their tombstone become a ladder into paradise? Not at all. Is your hope in a Christian spouse, a Christian son, a daughter, a brother, a sister? Are you depending upon their church attendance and their good works? Where would I be? Where would Rhonda be at this time if we put our hope in our parents? In what have you placed your hope? Is it in preachers? Is it in a Sunday school teacher? Is it in a board member? Is it in some type of leader in the church? Is it in your social standing? Who or what do you hope will save you in the very end? Can you say, preacher, can you say this morning, my hope is in God? I want you to think about it. If I commit myself to the arm of flesh, I am no stronger than the arm I commit myself to. But if I commit myself to God, I'll never go down until he goes down, and he's not going down. That's why I'm not afraid to start on this pilgrim road, because my hope is in God and not in my own efforts. I know I will face temptations. I understand that. We do along the way, but my hope is in God. I am weak, but he is strong. My hand is raised towards him. And number five, the last one. You need help. Call on the one who will answer. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things. Wow. He will show us. And in closing, let me read this to you. Sam Jones, the great Georgia firebrand for Christ, in his generation, he said this, if ever I get to heaven and my mother runs and throws her arms around my neck and says, son, I congratulate you on your quick and successful trip to heaven. And my father says, son, I'm glad you kept your promise. And my friends all greet me on a safe trip to a better world. He says, I shall tell them this. Hush, I have had been very little to do with this thing. Where is our Savior? Where is Jesus? Lead me to him. I'll show you the one who was responsible for my arrival. He went out and sought me when I was a drunkard. He found me in a wretched condition. He didn't scold me. He didn't club me into submission. He tenderly lifted me up and drew me to his shoulder. And he has never failed me, not one step of the way. Now, why wait any longer? The Evans is in. God calls upon us for a decision. It is your very own decision that will stand for or against you at judgment. To postpone it again is to be lost by default. There's an old hymn that goes like this. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no one other way but his. And then there is eternal truth, I believe, in this hymn. Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger in death, in delay. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in you. My hope is in God. Why not? Why not come to Him? Right now, shall we bow our heads, Father? I thank you for your word that never lies to us. I thank you, Lord God, that there are here many that have been in this here path and on this here route, Lord God, for many years, and you've never failed them. Never. And Lord God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your word because it's true. It's mighty. It's powerful. And Lord God, we know the things that are going on, the things that are taking place, the things that we read about or hear about, Lord God. But Lord, you win. You win, Lord. And Father, for that, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that my parents showed me that. I thank you that Rhonda's parents showed her that. I thank you that our grandparents showed us that. And Lord God, I pray right now, and I thank you for it. Lord, you've never left us down. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Have we been disappointed at times? Yes. Have we had all our prayers answered? No. But you have the greatest plan. You have the greatest plan. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord God, I pray that as every head is bowed and every eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I need that help. With every head bowed, nobody looking around. You'll say, Pastor, by the uplifted hand, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Him. I want to live for Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to serve Him. And I want to worship Him. In spirit and in truth. That's me. And you're here today, all over this sanctuary. You're here by phone or by live stream. And you'll say, Pastor, I need Him. I cannot go one more day without Him. I need Him. I need Him to save me. And if you're that person, I just want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand. You don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to have you come up and make no speech or anything. But you're here today or by live stream or by phone. You say, I need Him. I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these people. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in a church that will give an invitation for me to be saved. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for a church that will preach salvation. Because I know there's some churches that does not preach that because they go by works. And we cannot get to heaven by good works. It's by Christ alone. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. Lord, we understand today that it's receiving you is just like ABCs. We got to admit that we're a sinner. We got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to confess our sins. Lord, that's the ABCs of salvation. And Lord God, we know that if we do that, Lord, that you have saved us. And from this moment on, we live for you. We live for you, Lord, because we recognize that we need you in thy precious name. Father, go with us, we pray. Bless these people, Lord. I pray a blessing upon them. I pray, Lord God, for people, Lord Jesus, to be healed. I pray, Lord God, to be touched. I pray, Lord, if they're going through a difficult thing, it might be even at work, Lord God, that you will help them. In Christ alone, Lord God, we go our way. We leave this building, Lord. We leave these doors. In Jesus' name, we pray it all. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.